I think you would get rid of 50% of the pain that people are experiencing and 50% of the immobility if everybody in America or the planet or whatever was 50% stronger. The human body is capable of things that are so far above and beyond what most of us are told is possible. Mental success and physical success is repeated patterns and repeated habits. You believe it's possible? It's possible. More strength is better, but more work to get there is not. Everybody isn't supposed to do things the same way. And if you change their strength, you can change their life.
This is Maestro on the Mic,
a podcast designed to help you change your mindset and your life.
It is time for something new.
Join host Dr. Shante Cofield, also known as the Movement Maestro, on a journey to see the bigger picture.
Open your eyes.
Find your passion.
And discover how movement unites us all.
Let's get it popping.
This is Maestro on the Mic. I'm the Maestro, and you're about to get maestrified.
3, 2, 1.
Hey guys, Maestro here, coming at you live with another episode of Maestro on the Mic. Today I have with me someone you might not know, depending on how far into the depth of social media you go. I don't know, maybe you do, maybe you don't know him. He goes by the name of Bud Jeffries, same name on Instagram. He's part-time professional strongman, part-time massage therapist, and full-time 100% badass. I'm going to skip the rest of the intros. I'm going to let him do it. This guy, I had to bring him on. You can hear the excitement in my voice. This episode's going to be good. Without further ado, my friends, welcome to the show, Mr. Bud Jeffries.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you so much for having me. So I guess this is the part where I introduce myself and tell people what kind of psychopath I actually am, what kind of crazy I am. All right. So introducing myself, I am a, like she said, this wonderful, nice lady who has consented to interview this crazy man who does things and lives in a faraway state and is lucky the cops don't come to his yard every week. I am a half professional strongman, half massage therapist, at least in my how I make money and a living and do the things that have to play with the rest of the nice little people in the world and that thing. So let me tell you how that went. That came about. I went to school, the University of Florida. I was playing football there and had a career ending football injury that just wrecked my shoulder, actually broke my shoulder socket, and left there, had no idea what I was going to do, and was conned into going to massage therapy school. They sort of tell you this, that whole thing as a, you know, you're going to be, it's like the military. You're going to meet interesting people and make money. Yeah, that's a lie. That's not true. You're not going to, but you do learn some awesome things. And I actually am very, very glad because I've been able to help a ton of people along the way. And at least I sort of look like I'm not an actual like time traveling barbarian who's in the wrong century when I have sort of a professional sometimes look about me. And I actually did go to school and get a certification in some things and that kind of stuff. So how that happened was I went to school for that and then sort of found out that really in the massage therapy world, unless you just happen to catch on in a sports thing, if you're not a pretty lady, you don't make nearly as much money. And I certainly did not qualify in that way, especially in the place I'm at. It's, you know, very, very rural, or at least it was 20 years ago when I went to school. So they just really wasn't a lot of there wasn't a lot of economic opportunity. And so in that meantime, I had the opportunity to work as a professional strongman. Now, I did a lot of strongman competition, but I also started doing really the old time strongman feats and started to speak in churches and schools and that kind of thing. And that's really a lot of how I made my living over the years. And then in expanding that, I wrote I was encouraged to, you know, sort of join the internet age and get a website, which my lovely wife built, because I can barely turn a computer on. I can carry it around really well, but I can't turn it on very good. And so she built this website for me, and I wrote, started writing a book. I wrote several books. I've actually written 7 books on strength and conditioning, and then sort of expanded in some other areas and produced, 50, 60 video sets on everything crazy you can possibly do with anything that's heavy at all. How to train with a badger, how to wrestle crocodile, that kind of stuff, you know, just crazy. Actually, that's not true, but just all kind of stuff. Unique implements and physical movements and that kind of thing. And so in an attempt to do that, in the professional strongman area, I either do live shows or make money by informational materials with books and videos, ebooks, that kind of thing. which is why I have a social media presence, because again, like I said, without my wife, I'd be living in a cave somewhere, you know, huddled around a fire, hunting for food, and, you know, just sort of 1,000 years ago where I probably should be, instead of playing with the nice developed civilization that we have today. I got started in athletics really as a kid, and how I got started in really in my life story is what brought me in as really as a professional strongman. And I believe that we all have something special to share with the world. And so, like, twice I've been hit by a car and should never have survived. And doctors said I wouldn't walk again, wouldn't talk again. Doctors predicted I would never be born in the first place. And I believe that God puts us all where we're supposed to be and what we're supposed to do. And I had the ability to show people that no matter what's happened to you, no matter how crazy it is, you can do some pretty amazing things. Because the doctor said my hips had never functioned, but I was able to squat 1,000 pounds. And yeah, so you can do some pretty amazing stuff. And then I competed for 16 years in powerlifting. I won world championships, had some world records. Then I did everything crazy you can possibly do. And along the way, I got a chance to speak to, you know, like 1,000 schools in a 3-year period. And I got a chance to speak to a ton of kids live. And then a few years ago, I kind of moved away from performing as much. I still do. In fact, I got performances this week to do, but I was traveling, so I'm at the end of where I really, really wanted to go in performing as an old-time strongman and that kind of thing. I was traveling 270 days a year, and I did 300 schools, 300 schools per year. I did, in a 3-year period, I literally was in schools in 44 states. And at the end of that, I was a little bit off of, that's enough travel for a while. Like, it's awesome, but like, that's where you really get used to. Yeah. Well, you get the whole idea of like where, you know, rock musicians write these songs about being on the road. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you get that. Like, hotels look the same, you know, every hotel in the planet looks the same and towns look the same. And, you know, so I had a chance to kind of come home for a while and just be, and I love to travel, but not that much, you know, not that way. And, I had a chance to come home, and I really kind of moved back into doing a real, professional massage. And I always had a hand in it, but I kind of moved back into a really doing that more full time. So I really just sort of switched emphasis. I was really full time in professional strongman for a long time, and then sort of part time massage. Well, now I'm very full time in massage, and then I just do some strongman when people call me and say, "Hey, bud, come and do something crazy for these kids," or "Come and do something, you know, crazy for these adults," or whoever else you want me to entertain and possibly scare away from your house if they're bothering you or whatever else. Yeah.
You guys out there gotta check out his social media, because I feel like it's a little bit out of context. So listen to the whole episode first, but when you're done, you gotta check out this man's Instagram. That's one of the reasons I brought him on. He is literally doing things that his neighbors have to, I guess at this point they're used to it, but I feel like in the beginning, they're should we call the police, or should we watch more, or like, what is happening? So
pretty much the general emphasis of what's going on in my neighborhood, like, this is the most interesting thing in the world, or I don't know if I should call the cops, or I don't know. Well, you know, what I've gotten into is this: the human body is capable of things that are so far above and beyond what most of us are told is possible. And there are so many combinations of strength and endurance and physical movement and coordination and timing and balance and all of those things together. And there's so much to explore, and it can be such an entertaining thing. Like, the one thing I have committed to, you know, doing is I'm going to be strong. I'm going to be enduring. I'm going to be the best I can be at every possible layer of physical ability, but I'm never going to be boring. I just don't believe it. Exercise, there's too much to do. There's too much to be. And that doesn't mean doing things just purely for the gimmicky. Like, you know, I get people who do. I don't want to, you know, first of all, I don't look like an Instagram model under any circumstances. I literally look like I should be wearing bear skins and coming out of a forest somewhere. But that or a Hell's Angel. I kind of look like those two. But I don't do things like people say, "Oh, you just do that just to be a clown." No, I don't do that. I am legitimately, everything I do is well thought out, and there's a physical purpose behind it. I'm training some particular physical parameter, but what I'm not doing is training it the way that other people do. So I don't do 8 sets of 8 just to get a pump in my biceps. You know, I do things that combine multiple layers of physical ability and possible pyromania, which is, you know, I have a tendency to, which
I like,
light things
videos
on fire and throw stuff at it and that kind of thing. But I literally do. I kind of come from that background, and a lot of time, you know, in actually doing live shows. So being entertaining to people is fun. to me, but also there's a ton to teach. There's a ton to learn about how we move, how, what's possible. And there's so much to explore and so many avenues that I don't feel like people have. I feel like people have barely scratched the surface of so many things, and especially the combination of multiple high levels of, because almost everything we do in the modern era, which is actually the old time strongman, kind of came from a different era where it was way less specialization. But now everything is specialized. You're this, you're that, you're this, you know, your other thing. Well, I want to be able to walk into anybody's room and competently play. So if I, you know, I haven't competed in powerlifting for years, but if you stuck me in a powerlifting competition tomorrow, I could hold my own, or a strongman competition, or, you know, I might get killed at CrossFit because there's a few things they do that I really don't play with. But, you know, if you stuck me in a shooting competition, or if you stuck me in somewhere I had to in the wilderness to survive, or if I had to, anything you can physically do, I want to at least try. Wow. So let's give it a shot and see what's possible. The thing is, if you have the right preparation, you really can be so much better than most people. You don't have to be a specialist. You can be a generalist and still be high level.
Absolutely.
At lots of stuff.
I think in following you and listening to the podcast you've been on, that's one of my favorite things to hear you talk about is this concept of moving and training. I don't even want to say training, but experimenting, learning for life preparation. Like, yeah, okay, maybe I can't go into this specialized paradigm and like be the best at it, but for real world scenarios, which is at the end of the day, honestly, the most important thing, having the broadest skill set is undoubtedly the way to make yourself the most resilient, most robust, anti-fragile, whatever word that, you know, people want to use.
Right. Now, the one thing I have a caveat about that is I think people let themselves off the hook when they start talking about that, in that, well, I want to be okay at everything. I don't want to be okay at everything. I want to be really good at everything. What I don't necessarily care to do is, and I think with moderate to low volumes of lots of different training with very, very focused efforts in specific areas, really by sifting out what's the real payout, using kind of an Occam's razor paradigm where it's the 20% that really pays. That, you know, 20% of your effort pays off 80% of your dividends. Well, what I've done is sift that out through about a dozen different physical paradigms and put that all together. Because what you can't do is take 8 different training programs and try to run them all concurrently, because number one, you only have 24 hours in a day, and there's other things to do, like, you know, eat and sleep and have sex and all that. There's lots of other stuff to do versus I don't want to train all the time, all day. So, but what I want to do is I don't want to just be okay. I want to be good to possibly world class at lots of stuff. But the last 10% of anything that's world class is where you have to drop the rest of everything you do and specialize and give up and sacrifice and your whole. But you can be, you know, you can be you can be close enough to a world record that you make the world champions nervous.
Dude, I love that.
Without having to live 24 hours a day, you know what I'm saying? And there's actually where I think is a big thing that people do, because the problem I think in generalist training that has always been the case is that, so what you got was somebody who was just sort of mediocre at everything, but not good enough to be dominant anywhere. You can be that though. You can be, you know, you the true opposite ends of the spectrum. Okay. You may have little issues, like you talked to me about in prepping for the podcast. I know you listen to some of my IRs and know I have kind of a crazy set of goals where I want to squat 800 pounds and run 3 miles in a day, or that kind of thing. Run 30 to 50 miles or do that kind of thing or whatever. Okay. Nobody who runs 50 miles in a day is even breaking a sweat worrying about me catching them.
Yes.
You see what I mean? I mean, there is things that you probably are, you know what I'm saying? Now I can squat 700-800 pounds pretty much any day of the week. So that's not a more, but so nobody who is, you know, a super ultra endurance in that way, most of whom are literally half my body weight or less, they're not even worried about me breaking into the, oh God, Bud's coming to the ultra running world. Nobody's even thinking about that. Nobody's thinking about even at a 5K pace. I am not a fast runner or that kind of thing. So some of that is more about how specialized do you want to be. So could I become a really competent ultra runner? Yeah, if I lost 100 more pounds body weight and decided that I was going to give up everything to do. But can I finish the distance, which for most humans is about what that is about anyway. It's not so much about how fast you can do. It's how And can I finish the distance and still be as yes. strong and still be, you know, to be the, so, you know, a lot of my world does come from a strength slant along with other things, which actually is a very misrepresented thing. Cause you're going to hear a lot of people. I even used to get this in the college level coaching stuff. You'd get, oh, you're strong enough. Well,
what does that mean? Yeah,
maybe. Yeah. What does that mean? And really what that means is I don't want to try to learn to push you any harder. I'm scared that stub your toe, or I'm scared that there might be another thing, you know, or whatever. Or I don't want, I mean, there is an intelligence about how much training energy you put towards something if you're already great at it and you need to develop other attributes. And that's, I have no qualm about that. And that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that this, if you get on a playing athletic field and everybody is basically equal in their technical abilities and their other stuff, anything that you allow to be a low level is going to become a weakness and going to be a problem. So if you're in the physical confrontation sport, like fighting or football or whatever, or anything along that line, everybody at the top level has good technique. Yes. Everybody at the top level is fast. Everybody at the top level is enduring. At some point, strength becomes a big deal. It's not just, am I kind of strong? It's, am I really strong enough to impose my will on another fast, strong, athletic human being, which is a whole nother situation. And you open the door to what kind of strength are we talking about? And am I strong in a gym? Am I strong walking around outside? Or, you know, strong. There are people who are not terribly amazing in a gym who can beat you to death on a wrestling mat. And vice versa. And some of that has to do with individuality. For instance, a 7 foot tall guy may be an incredible wrestler and a lousy bench presser because his arms are 4 foot long. But for the distance he has to move for his personal structure, a not impressive number on a bench press may actually translate into very impressive strength in other possible areas. So much of this is individuality and figuring out things and, you know, and going to all the possible directions there. And
no, this is so good. This is why I brought you on. You guys listening, one, listen to the excitement in this man's voice. He loves what he's doing. He loves what he's talking about. And he knows what he's talking about. A few things to unpack, a few things that I'm going to ask him afterwards. But one of the overarching underlying themes here is what some people may consider extremism. And that's, I think, because people tend to really live in this really kind of tunnel vision safe space and settling. I don't want to say settling for mediocrity, but settling for this and saying, okay, well, this is strong. You're strong enough. Or, you know, jack of all trades, master of none. And when you have someone like you, and DJ, Strong Camp's another great example, that comes in and shakes it up, it's really worth listening to what these people have to say. And we're in a time right now where books like The Rise of Superman, talking about flow states and, you know, learning about what the body is truly capable of, that's like everyone's talking about it right now. So one of the reasons I wanted to bring Bud on the show is because he's living it, and he's been living it for his whole life, honestly. I don't even want to say this, you know, however many years, his whole life, from, you know, proving these doctors wrong. And I'm going to actually have him tell you his backstory too, to what he's doing now in terms of how he's training and, you know, looking at doing something like lifting 800 pounds and running an ultra marathon in the same day. This is 100% why I brought you on the show. If you could, my friend, talk to the folks about you as a young child and your kind of early disenchantment with rehabilitation, I guess is the way I would describe it.
Okay. Well, early lack of, really,
exactly,
is what that has to do with. So you got to kind of know about my life and my whole thing. And this is really why I had a chance to speak to people so much, because I was able to do stuff. And it's, you know, it's interesting, but you can find a lot of world champions at stuff that are, well, what you can find is a lot of strong people. What you can't find is a lot of articulate people. Or what you can't find is a lot of strong people, and they really don't have anything that's educational to share other than the fact that they're strong. Okay, well, you know, the average person doesn't care very much about this. They care about how you're going to affect their life. Then they care about what they can take away and what they can teach their kids or what they can make their life better and that kind of thing. And now I actually do think that sharing strength itself is a big thing, because I think you're talking about in the rehab setup or whatever, and I think you would get rid of 50% of the pain that people are experiencing and 50% of the immobility if everybody in America or the planet or whatever was 50% stronger.
Yes, I totally agree.
Which is going to be a crazy, I think most of the immobility, most of the lack of is from both lack of movement, yeah. but it is also from lack of strength, because what happens is the body starts self-protecting, and I'm not strong enough to not fall, therefore I don't walk, or therefore my balance goes bad, or therefore I get weak in every other direction, or I'm not strong enough to live my life. And the mistake, and this is something I kind of criticize that world about or whatever, is most American physical therapy, and you know, God bless you for all the wonderful mm-hmm. work they do, but from an itch standpoint, from a hospital standpoint, a lot of what you're doing, and I realize that people are hamstrung in media in by what they're told to do in a clinical setting, and there's so many things that are a problem there. Well, I don't happen to be hamstrung in that setting. I can kind of do whatever I want. And what they do is they get people just good enough to get out of the hospital and back to the couch.
Yeah.
And that's not good enough. That's why people go to physical therapy for a couple of years and don't really ever get better. Mm. And it's because we're so incredibly concerned with safety on things that, and I get that we need to be concerned with people's safety and the techniques of how they lift things and all the other stuff and all that stuff, you know, but we sort of got the cart before the horse there, in that if you can make large gross motor movements with some significant strength, a lot of your small motor movement stuff is going to start to take care of itself.
Yes.
And you're going to get people who can. So, okay, I'll get into this more. I think this will really interest you. So I'm training a bunch of women right now. Didn't intend to do this. I just started to do it to help a friend, and then they all just sort of piled in. And evidently dudes want to come work out with me, and they never show up. They all, dude, I want to work out with you. Okay, come at this time. Never show. Women who are, you know, most of who the ladies who I'm training who are like crippled basically by something, they you know, literally, when you hear some of the stories, you're like, oh my God, how are these people walking? Guess what? Get them to deadlift body weight or body weight and a half or double body weight, even if it's a partial. And they don't need to do a million little leg rotations. Now they need to do things for movement, and I'm not saying that. Get them to do that, and guess what? They can suddenly stand up out of a chair where they used to have trouble with it.
Yes.
Get them to and get them to do it. And here's something that I'm going to do. Like I actually was speaking to a guy about this yesterday. What I'm doing with him is the dead opposite paradigm of normal physical therapy. Mm-hmm. We're starting with large gross motor movements instead of finite movements. We're starting with absolutely low reps instead of high rep stuff and do it. But here's why: the low rep stuff that they're doing doesn't make them sore. They all had massive amounts of inflammation and soreness just walking around and living daily life. Mm-hmm. And that's something I want to talk about that in rehabilitation and other stuff is most people, when they go to therapy, when they go to things, well, you need to get stronger. Okay. But the paradigm of stronger is very limited.
Yes.
Okay. If you can, you know, stretching a band overhead with your shoulders may make your shoulders feel wonderful for 3 sets of 20. It's not going to help you pick up a box out of a shelf and not hurt your shoulder.
Yes.
It's not the right kind of strength. And when I say add to their strength, I'm not talking about, okay, you used to be able to lift 30 pounds. Now you can lift 50 pounds. That's not going to do it for getting them strong enough to tolerate life, for making them anti-fragile, yes, being the word that, you know, came up earlier and that kind of thing. So here's how I came out of this whole thing. So, all right, I'm going to start at the very, very, you know, let's start at the beginning.
At the beginning.
Well, okay. And here's why I have this, and maybe this is okay. You're talking about some of the books that relevant that, you know, are dealing with mindset. Now there's a thing about babies that have to fight to live, having a different mindset as adults. Well, maybe I have, and that's why I have
maybe,
some of mine.
Yeah.
So my mom, yeah, maybe very that and the concussions over the years have possibly broken the part of my brain to things, which is probably true. That literally have, you know, taken my idea of risk out of the equation. So I don't have the ability to process that. But so here's what happened. My mom and dad tried to have children for 12 years, and they were never able to have a baby. And when mom finally got pregnant, she was working as a nurse. She was exposed to the measles, and which is dangerous to a developing fetus, very dangerous. In fact, the doctors at the hospital she was at told her that I'd be born blind or deaf or stillborn. And they tried to get her to have an abortion, and she didn't believe in that. She said no to that. She said very specific. They said, you know, listen, you're going to have a handicapped child. And she said, I believe God gave me this child one way or the other, and I don't care whether he's handicapped or not. Okay. I'm going to do everything I can to support this and to help this. So she said no. And which I know is a, you know, an unpopular thing for people to talk about, but hey, listen, this is my life story. You got to do what you got to do. So actually my heart rate stopped as I was about to be. I was the first baby in the hospital I was born in that they used a fetal heart monitor on. Mm-hmm. And I'm going and everything's cool. She's there to have the baby, and my heart disappears. no heart rate anymore. So I'm literally the first, when that happened to the time I actually, when they finished the C-section and put my time on the birth certificate is 19 minutes.
Wow. Of no heartbeat.
So the thing you don't know about that is, do I not have a heartbeat for 19 minutes? I can tell you this, they were worried about it enough. They dragged her out of the, my mom said they were so close on when they cut her to give the C-section to her to have the emergency birth, that she could feel the coldness of the betadine being put on her skin. Oof. Seconds before they cut her. Oof. That's how close they were with the anesthesia.
Wow.
So I start out that, and but okay, here's the thing. Doctor's predictions don't mean squat, because they said I'd be born blind, deaf, mm-hmm. or crippled, or in any, I'm not. They were wrong.
Yeah.
And I was okay. And everything is cool, and I got that, you know, maybe that's the start of the mindset. And my parents begin to instill a mindset, and I try to do this later on with my kid, that you're capable, you can do anything, it's possible, it doesn't matter what it is. And I you know, at that time I was too young to even see that, but the later on I really do see that they encourage that, and that's such a huge thing, man. You believe it's possible, it's possible. I've talked about the group of women I'm training. We have a running joke about that when they ask me how much something weighs, everything in my yard, whether it weighs 10 pounds or 500 pounds, everything in my yard weighs 25 pounds. And I did that, okay? I started them with the simplest exercise I could find, which was kettlebell deadlifts. Mm-hmm. Just basic, straight, regular deadlift done with a kettlebell. And I did that for two reasons. Number one, that's the simplest way to learn to deadlift. It's way simpler than a barbell. And number two, they couldn't read the kilos on my kettlebell.
Yes, that's right.
So they didn't know what it weighed.
They didn't know.
All they could see is that one than the other. And I just flat lied to them about what's that weigh. Oh, what's that one weigh? 25 pounds. Well, that looks bigger than the other one. It just looked that way. There's no.
It just looks like that.
But here's why. Here's why. They didn't believe they were strong. They didn't believe it was possible. And then after the workout, I'd say, you know, they'd be like, wow, that some of that was a little bit heavy. I'm like, you know, you actually lifted 90 pounds today. They're like, what? I couldn't. How was that possible? I can't believe. Because you didn't know you couldn't do it. And I told you could.
Yes.
And so I'm going along. Everything's cool. I'm 5 years old. I have a car accident. I'm walking down the street to my grandmother's house with my mom. I'm carrying this puppy. He jumps out of my arms, runs across the street. I dart after him. When I do, I step right in front of a van. A van hits me, throws me to the front of the van. It crushes my right hip. It fractures my skull. The guy skids to a stop. It throws me off. So I, you know, everybody thinks I'm dead. The whole thing, you know, my mom goes and they get me in an ambulance. I spend a month in the hospital. I spend 3+ months in a body cast. Completely immobile from the chest down. So the therapy thing, so I can, you know, I can vividly remember this, man. I'm a kid. I'm like, this is Florida back in the 70s. Okay. There was three channels on TV and cartoons like for 5 minutes a day. Like it was like being in prison. It was like a gulag situation. There was no, you know, and so they cut this cast off me and I'm thinking, oh, thank God I can finally run and play. And they stand me up and I collapse, man. I couldn't move at all. I couldn't do it. I had to completely start over, walk again. And I don't remember any, I remember this. They sent us home with a bottle of some weird lotion and said, all right, rub this on his skin a few times a day and make him move around. That was therapy. That was it. There was little to no organized therapy. There was no, it's not like today where if you sprain your fingernail, you have 7 months of therapy and you do the whole, it doesn't sound like that. It doesn't work that way. So they sent me home and just in the normal. And so my mom was, you know, was religious about doing things, and she moved my legs around and made me do stuff and that kind of, you know, and it wasn't long before I'm walking again, because I'm desperate as a child and I don't know I can't, and I got to go outside and play because this is killing me. So I'm motivated to do that. But evidently, and I don't remember this because again, the head injury from it was pretty serious. But evidently I had some deficits and some things still about a year later. And my mom happens to run into meet this guy who owns a Taekwondo school. She kind of explains the situation. She says, well, I can help him get more flexible and I can help get moving and doing things or whatever. And so that sort of developed some of my ideas later on, because what I talked about before and people ask me this now, well, how is it you're able to do these crazy things without being a specialist in those things? You know what? I just set out to do them and I allow the body to educate itself. Yeah. If that makes sense.
Absolutely.
just by learning the movement, by attempting to make the movement. I think sometimes we so break down the minutia of things that we confuse things.
Yes.
Versus if you tell a baby automatic, you don't have to tell a baby to learn to crawl. A baby just starts to move.
Yes.
You don't have to learn to tell a baby to walk. A baby just begins to do it. I think in therapy, we oversimplify things. We overcomplicate them by trying to overbreak them down.
Yes.
Whereas let's start with the simple things you can do and go from there, and we'll adjust the gaps as necessary versus let's start with the, you know, okay, if you are coming out of a cast, well, can you move your leg? All right, let's move your leg. But let's not start with can you move your toe if you can move your leg.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? And they, you know, and so this guy basically was that, and they started with me with, you know, we started with just the basics of stuff. And I learned from, and so this, I had a couple of years of real steady Taekwondo, which developed a real flexibility thing for me. It's a systematic flexibility, systematic movement, learning to not go from not just walking, but let's move athletically. Let's step softly. Let's control our footsteps. Let's jump. Let's spin. Let's do the basic things that we all ought to be doing no matter what age we are, at whatever level is capable of. And the thing is, you're more capable of it. It's just, you know, okay, I have 65-year-old women who've never done an athletic thing in their life spinning. Yes. And doing some of the, and I don't mean by on a bike, I mean literally doing spinning foot drills.
Yes.
Because they don't know, they shouldn't be able to do that.
Exactly. That's
it's
huge.
Possible.
Huge.
Yeah, they just don't know. So that jumped me into the therapy world by accident. And then later on, I got into powerlifting, and I really began to learn about how to physically make the body strong and the technical abilities of movements. And here's one of the big things I learned about that I think will be helpful from a therapeutic standpoint to the people listening. Everybody isn't supposed to do things the same way.
Yes. Say it, bud.
Okay. You watch everybody. Okay. Everybody isn't supposed to do everything exactly the same way. When you're coaching somebody, don't try to remake them into whoever the world champion you think is cool is, or whoever you don't make somebody squat in your stance. You make them squat in the stance that works for them, because their hips are different than yours. Their thigh bones are different from yours. Their athletic background, their injury background is all different from yours. So it has to be adjusted to the width, the toe turn, the hip position, where your movement starts. All of those things needs to be individually adjusted for every movement on the planet. And if you look at the breadth of the best lifters on the planet, and people say, well, I'm not trying to be a lifter, but you know what? The best lifters on the planet know the best about how to make the body strong, and they know the best about the biomechanics of how to actually use the human body. Okay. So why study? That's like saying, I want to learn to drive. Well, would you rather learn to drive from your local driving instructor, or would you rather learn to drive from a NASCAR driver? You'd be better off to learn to drive from a NASCAR driver, because you can learn some stuff that's makes you absolutely amazing. You're learning from the best people on the planet.
Yes.
Yeah. You may not be ready to drive 500 laps at 200 miles an hour, but you'd be a lot better than just learn how to parallel park from somebody who doesn't care what they're doing.
Right.
You see what
you're
I mean?
Right.
Learn from the best something. And what you learn is this: there is no single way. There is no single way to be the best at something. There is no single training platform. And there is no single biomechanical way to move the human body. Everybody doesn't copy everybody else. You know, the difference in a 5'1", 112-pound female lifter and a 6'4", 350-pound super heavyweight is going to be fairly ridiculous in the way they stand, the way they move, the way they do. It's going to be huge. But good biomechanics is always good biomechanics.
Yes.
So it doesn't matter. So
yes,
the little difference will make huge payoffs in how your clients are capable and able to do things. But the biomechanics are always going to be the same.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think people, especially the social media age that we live in, people love those eye-catching images with the red X's and the green check marks. And it's like, you cannot put movement into a box like this. You have to look at the person who is in front of you.
And to listen to some of the armchair theorists and some of the median level coaches who have, you know, there's the thing about listening to people who are in the middle of their game. They're learning. They're doing awesome. They're trying. They also have just enough knowledge to be dangerous.
Yes.
Not enough knowledge to give you. They can't see the broad spectrum of things, which is the big issue in therapy and strength and all this stuff. It's not being able to step back and look at the whole of the world of the thing, or not having the influences of, you know, like, so I've studied everybody from the 1850s forward. Okay, I got an idea of what all the major strength systems did and why and what they do and what the theory behind them is. And here's what I've seen. people got strong doing wildly divergent things, doing wildly divergent both technical styles as well as implements that they lift and volumes of training and frequencies of training, and all, it's all over the map. And you can't pigeonhole one particular thing. And I'll tell you what you can't, if you look, you were talking about the red X's and all that stuff. You can look at some of the greatest lifts that ever happened on the planet, and if you put them through that red X test of is it for mechanics, it won't pass. Yeah. I'm talking about guys who deadlift 900 pounds.
There you go.
And it there, but if you look at that guy's hips were a little too high, or his upper back bent a little bit, or, it doesn't work that way. The reality of human movement, it cannot be pigeonholed into one particular thing, within the exception, within the idea that the basics are still the basics. Yes. There are still some things that are never going to work biomechanically, but lots of things work biomechanically. Little tiny cars drive, and so do big trucks. It's still the basic mechanics.
Yes.
Same thing.
Yes.
It's just you have to find, and individuality is a very big thing, man. Individuality is once you've established what good biomechanics are, you have to make the tweaks, and there's where you need some experience. You got to make the tweaks for the individual person of, okay, that doesn't really look comfortable, that's not working well for you, or that particular stance or hand grip or that particular turn is moving you into a place of bad biomechanics. Therefore, we'll make an adjustment, and let's put our foot 2 inches wider, or let's turn our toes a little in or a little out, or let's try this, let's make this adjustment, move your head position, move your back position, move your butt position, whatever.
The tweak.
And here's the thing. That's right, those little tweaks. But here's the thing. People will often auto-tweak themselves.
Yes.
Just little – and don't try to teach the whole world at one time, man. Don't try to teach the 700 step. Listen, give them something stupid, simple to do.
Yes.
And
I love that.
Begin sorting it out a moment at a time. And here's the thing that's going on with real high-level lifters. High-level lifters are constantly technique refining. They're constantly asking questions. They're constantly asking their training partners, how did that look? What did I do? Did I do everything perfect? That whole – you're not talking about guys who are the world champions and the best in the world who've been lifting for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they're still technique refining 30 years later.
Yes.
So now they know they got it. Okay, they're not doing, you know, everything else they've done is auto ingrained. But the human body wants to be strong. It doesn't want to be weak. It will learn. It will push itself into biomechanically advantageous positions once you just give it the nudge of this is probably the best way to do this, and then the little things sort themselves out.
I couldn't agree.
And they will over a period of time.
Couldn't agree more, man. And I love the approach that you're talking about, and that is ideal, is that original strength approach to rehab or movement, where work on these foundational patterns. Like, look at how children are, how they move, what they're doing. Mm-hmm. You don't learn like these little fine things first. Like, go after this big stuff and give people this basic level of strength. I think one of the problems is people don't realize when they do compare to kids and children, they don't actually realize how incredibly strong kids are. They view them as very fragile when in actuality, I'm like, that child just held a plank for like 4 minutes over there and they're able to deadlift. They can go and pick that thing up. That thing weighs more than them. Like, we don't actually realize if you were to actually take the strength of a child and make it proportional to an adult, you would see exactly like you said, but the majority of the world is grossly too weak.
And weak.
Like, just
way too weak.
Way too weak.
That's why we have back. That's why we have knee problems. That's why we have hip problems for the most part.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, we live in the easiest technological moment on the easiest way to live, the easiest time in the history of human beings to live. Because really all you need to live in a developed country now, you know, other countries are a different situation, but in America, all you need is thumbs.
Yeah.
If you have thumbs, you can live.
You're right.
Because you can, or even just fingers, because you can order anything over a smartphone.
Yeah, exactly.
No matter what it is.
You
don't need anything to actually live, but to thrive.
Yes, but
you still need it 1,000 years ago.
Yes.
That's why 40-year-old dudes can't get off the couch when they should be crushing life instead of falling away from life.
Yes.
We're hurting because we're not moving, because we're not strong, not because, you know, and we do the opposite. Oh, you hurt your back? Oh, don't ever lift anything heavy
again. Exactly.
And what that sets you up for is a lifetime of back problems, mm-hmm. not a short-term issue. But listen, if you don't make those muscles strong, you will have pain and problems forever.
Yeah.
And it really doesn't matter where the other damage comes from. You had a broken bone, let it heal, now make it strong. You had a damaged disc, Let it do some things to make it heal. Now make it strong. You had a joint replacement. Guess what? Guess what I'm going to tell you. Let it heal. Now make it strong.
There you go.
Don't, you know, whatever. And let me tell you this. You dig ditches for a living, get strong. You sit at a desk for a living, get strong, because those two people end up at the same thing.
Yeah.
I don't care if you have the hardest physical job in the world. At the end of life, if you haven't done the things to keep things strong, to keep things mobile, to undo the pain that and inflammation that general living or your job creates, you and the guy who sat at a desk for 40 years and didn't move very much and had no strength to begin with are going to end up in the same set of physical problems.
Exactly.
So do the smart things to get stronger, to be mobile. And here's the thing. There's the problem, and what we talked about, and we're sort of circling back around to the thing, we talked about being a generalist and having the, you know, being good at everything. Here's the thing. You know what? People don't even know this, but one of the best power lifters ever, actually several, and especially a lot of the old-time strongmen, they got strong doing one-rep sets a few times a week. You're talking about Mark Chalet squatted 1,000 pounds and deadlifted, I think, 800 pounds, doing 5 single reps of squats a week and 5 single reps of deadlifts a week. Wow. That was the entirety of his squat and deadlift program.
Wow.
Okay. And here's what I mean by that. And the reason I'm referencing those things. Mm-hmm. Okay. You see a lot of what you try to make programs complicated. You try to make the people do, we have a more is better thing, and more strength is better, but more work to get there is not. Meaning this, you got to recover from life. Okay. And I talked about starting these women who are, you know, one of whom has had 25 surgeries in her lifetime, has had cancer 4 separate times.
Wow.
And she's about to turn 60 years old, has had literally 25 times had surgery, most of which related to cancer over her life. She's had the legal limit of radiation you can give a human being in America in her lifetime.
Wow.
One lady has a destroyed ankle. The other lady has a destroyed hip. The other lady is my mom, who is 74, who's never done much of anything, but was in a car accident a couple of years ago and has some back and wrist issues and stuff from that. And the same program that worked for some of the best lifters and the best all-time strongmen on the planet is working for them. And the reason is this: do the most you can while creating the least problem, creating the least inflammation. So if I went and took these women and took them to the average gym, they would take them in and put them through a 25 set workout all around 10 repetitions. And they would have so much delayed onset muscle soreness, and so much extra inflammation on the inflammation they already have. They would want to die and they would never come back and work out again.
Yeah.
But if I made them come in and do a warm up set of a few reps, warm their body up by moving around, walking a little bit. We do a lot of tire pulling because it's super light and simple and hard to do wrong. And then we do just 5 one rep sets. Well, okay, I'll give you this. In a 2.5 month period, nearly everybody, and this is the women involved, has added 40 to 60 pounds to their deadlift just by doing that twice a week.
Look at that.
And this is people who are at a place where they shouldn't. Literally, my one lady, her doctor told her, "You are too physically damaged to ever change what's possible. Your BMI will always be what it is. You'll never be able to get stronger. You'll never be able to." Yeah. And then listen to this crowd. This makes me so proud. This makes me so happy about it. This lady, for the first time in 6 years, her inflammation markers went down. For the first time in years, her BMI dropped. She lost 15 inches overall. She lost 7 pounds. Her BMI dropped to 35, and all her inflammation markers went down. And for the first time in 6 years, she was able to stand up off the ground by herself.
Well, look at that. Changing her life, man. You're saving her life, but changing her life.
By the simplest, most people would say, that's the most ridiculous. Singles never work. You're just going to kill these people. No, I'm making an educated decision from a different vantage point about what's possible and capable and smart for these people. And if you change their strength, you can change their life.
Yes.
You can make a difference in what they're – our average so far in a 3-month total trial period of this whole thing, and this just – man, I didn't even intend to do this. I didn't want to train anybody. I just my one lady was hurt so bad. I'm like, all right, I'll help you. And then the other lady, well, can I come? Okay, you can come. Well, can I bring my friend? All right. Can I bring 7 friends? Okay. I didn't want to do that. I'm going to – all right, I'll do it or whatever. We're going to do it. Yeah. We've averaged between 20 well, the most weight loss we've had in a 3 month period. And this is just goofing off. I'm not messing with their diets. I'm not doing anything else. One lady's lost 40 pounds and several other have lost 25. Everybody's 40 to 60 pounds to their deadlift. Yes. Everybody's and this is people who doctors have told them, and you're not the only one, just the one lady at Reynolds. Their doctors are telling, no, you're not going to be, no, you're too old. You can't get stronger. You can't do. Yeah. You absolutely can.
You absolutely can.
So
absolutely
much stronger. Can. Quality of life can be amazing. Yes. And that's a big thing. You really can.
Absolutely. My providers out here that you guys are listening to this, you know, I don't know 100% every listener, obviously, that checks this out, but I just want to interject because I know that sometimes when people hear things that are so perhaps radically different from what they're doing, instead of embracing it, they may get a little bit scared or turn the podcast off or be like, no way, this is too crazy. He's telling you, that's what happens, right? He's telling you anecdotal, 100% true things that he's seeing. And the reason I do this podcast, and actually Bud echoed this and said it, is so that you guys can take a step back and see the bigger picture. One of the main things, right, if you want to say, okay, I'm too scared to load someone that much, all right. But the number one thing that Bud has echoed this whole time is this concept of empowering people and not telling them what they cannot do, but showing them that they can do and helping them realize and understand that they can do anything. There's a lot of, you know, tricks that may be involved with that for, you know, a better clinician or what makes a better coach, because they, you know, the fact that Bud went and used kettlebells, not only because biomechanically it's a easier movement, but because it says kilograms on it. And so mentally for that person, they're not already like, oh, that says 50 pounds, I can't do it. To them, they don't know. And Bud, that's a great coaching strategy. The bigger picture there being that we need to, as coaches, clinicians, friends, family, whatever, look to start helping people up and telling them, yeah, you can do this. Fuck yeah, you can do this. Go and get stronger. You broke that, absolutely. Okay, heals, and go and get stronger. That needs to rest, okay, rest, and then we have to go and get stronger. It doesn't matter what field you're in, you know, what movement background you're coming from. We're all working with humans. Understand their individuality, and that's how you tailor things, and that one, you know, separates, especially at that highest level of things. But man, realize that we're working with these incredible beings and empower them and speak to them as such.
Well, and we treat people from a clinical standpoint as if they're going to forever be damaged, but the human body wants to heal itself, and that's
exactly.
Not true. It wants to heal itself. Now you may have something that you carry forever. So what?
Mm-hmm.
Dude, there are people, you know, doing marathons with no legs. You got a herniated disc, you can get through it. It's not.
Yes.
And here's the thing. Yes. Why can't you be an exceptional story? Why can't you be that? You absolutely can be that. Because what we see everything as outliers when you have the potential to be an outlier. We see somebody who, and they're going to say, oh, these are just exceptional people. I ain't picked these people. I ain't handpicking. You got the worst injury, but the best potential to be dead. No, these are just people. And here's the thing: you can be an outlier. You have no idea what you're genetically capable of until you try. And when I say try, I don't know the first time you tried it and it didn't work great. That means if you spend a year, and guess what? The more years, the more time, the more effort, the smarter you work, the better your genetics suddenly came. And then people are going to be talking about, oh, you just had the genetics to do that. No. I just did
it's
the work. Somebody believed in me, and somebody made. You are not there to be damaged forever. You are not. You know, but if people believe they are, that's why they give people that whole. Well, you pull the muscle in your back, your back's never going to be strong again. Bull crap. Do you know how many powerlifters? Okay, one of the major exercises I use with these people is a reverse hyperextension. I do that because it's probably one of the smartest ways to make those muscles strong and traction the back at the same time without creating damage, without doing a problem. It makes everybody's back feel better. The guy who pushes that, one of the greatest powerlifting coaches to ever live, the intelligent guy, is a guy named Louis Simmons. Guess what? Louis broke his spine twice and came back to multiple elite totals, multiple weight classes, and squatted like 900 pounds at like 60 years old.
Right.
Dude.
And we're worried about a little back strain. I'm going to be crippled forever.
That's right. Did Louis just happen to magic? No. He was smart. He wouldn't quit. And there's the thing. We're teaching people. There's the thing that we radically do. We teach people to quit instead of teaching people to work. We teach people that you're going to be damaged forever. No, you're not going to be damaged forever. You can be the outlier. You can be the one who came back from that injury instead of, you know, instead of just for, I was for, oh, I broke my toe one time, I can't walk. Nope. Not going to work that way if you make it happen. I mean, and here's the thing. Most of the best athletes on the planet have had a serious injury.
Yes.
And come back from it to become the best at what they do. So why can't you do it? There's no difference in you and them realistically, other than that, you know, maybe they're a professional at what they do. And yeah, they have genetic gifts for their thing. But you know what? You still got two eyes, two arms, two legs. You're still basically a human being. So what? If this if they're capable of it, you're capable of some significant approximation of the same thing.
My man, you say all the – I want to tease that out a little bit because, I was like I said, I was listening to one of your podcasts about and you were talking about the day you went in and squatted 1,000 pounds. And you the mindset that you said, you're like, I'm either squatting it or I'm leaving in an ambulance. Mm-hmm. And the for me, that was one of the biggest poignant moments of that podcast was look at the mindset that this person went into this thing with, and this is why they succeeded, because this, and you know, obviously years into training, all other and everything else, but the mindset portion of that. Could you speak some more to that? Like, I had a bunch of other stuff I wanted to talk about today, but I love that you've taken this in such a the mental component of things. Like,
well, your mind drives everything. Your mind, no one is strong without mental strength. No one is physically strong without mental strength. And physical strength or physical training is probably the greatest way to build mental strength, because it's certainly the best way to build physical and mental concentration. Nothing on the planet will force you to drop every other thought out of your mind and focus intently like a laser on something than putting the heaviest weight you can possibly hold in your hands or on your back. And I'm talking about taking you from, you know, you can meditate 20 minutes a day for 6 months, or I can give you 30 seconds with a barbell on your back and get to the same place.
Yeah.
and here's the thing. Mental success and physical success is repeated patterns and repeated habits. The more you believe, the more you do on a regular basis, the more you're going to get there. So that night we were talking about, I didn't go in thinking I would fail. It was not a question in my mind. It was that I was absolutely convinced I would succeed. And I had a lifetime of training to build up to that. So I'm not just a nutcase who says, I'm doing this or die.
Yeah.
I had 16 focused training to get to a pinnacle point of a particular thing that had been a goal of mine forever. And that was the night that goal was going to happen. Now, that's out of the wheelhouse of most people therapeutically, and most people are never going to get to the place of absolute crazy where I'm doing this or I'm going to the hospital. But approximating just some percentage of that in your life,
yes.
Because we're taught to quit all the time with, oh, it's a little hard. I can't, no, I want to do that. So what? I really think if we could live in a mindset on a day-to-day basis of hard doesn't mean you quit. Tough doesn't mean you quit, and rearrange our mindset completely of what pain is. I don't see physical exercise, no matter how painful it is, as pain. Physical exercise is effort. Effort is sometimes comfortable, but that is not pain. You know, pain is when an alligator really does bite you on the leg. That's dead. That's okay. That's pain. I'll give you that. No problem. But you did, you know, 100 squats. Yeah, you're sore. You breathe hard.
Yes.
Simple effort. That is not pain. Restructuring your mindset in those things, in what effort is, in what pain is, in when I quit, in when I stop myself, in how far I'm willing to go, is the difference in life and death. It's the difference in how you age. It's the difference in how you function. It's the difference in your marriage, in your children, in your business success. All of that stuff is key to your mind. And the simplest way to train your mind is to train your body physically hard. If it gets tough to answer questions in the middle of the day, or it gets up, but if I know that before I got to that interview or before I got to that business meeting, I put myself through things on a regular basis that would scare the crap out of my competition, I fear nothing.
Yes.
Or next to nothing.
Yes.
I have rational intelligence about what to do. Okay. I go into that without, again, I'm trained to do what I do. I didn't go into that without a rational thought process, but I went into it with, what most people would consider an irrational level of motivation and an irrational expectation of success. Now, realistically, I think we're wasting our lives. We are meant for so much more than the average person gets out of life. And if they simply change the way they thought if they simply believed in themselves, if they simply were willing to do the work, they could do amazing things. And it all starts with how you think. I can demonstrate. I have literally over my course of training and career and between strongman stuff and massage and the martial arts, I have hundreds of examples I could call back of what you think dictates how strong you are. What you think dictates how strong you can be. Do you think it's possible? And here's the thing. People can change their thoughts. People can change their mindset. The more success you put them through in that, the more they believe it's possible. The more they take that first step after their leg was broken, the more they're going to believe they can take multiple steps and they can walk again. The more they lift 5 pounds more than they did last week, the more they're going to think, well, by God, I could lift a couple of 100 pounds, or maybe it's possible, or maybe I didn't think it was ever possible for me to lift more than 50 pounds. And that crazy guy with a backyard on fire who's throwing axes at stuff tricked me into lifting 100 pounds. And my God, now I am capable of. You are capable. Yes. But you have to believe you are capable. You need to surround yourself with people who believe they are and who are willing to work as hard as you. And you need to see that hard work and a tough mind doesn't make you a jerk and isn't going to kill you. We're conditioned to believe, we're conditioned to believe that if you work to the edge of your capacity, you're going to get hurt. Okay. Mm-hmm. I am the outlier example of that one particular thing in that, yeah, I have a 25 or 30 year career of weightlifting, and I've had some injuries along the way, although never really bad ones from lifting of any kind, more from sports type stuff or whatever. I'm a drag racer. Okay. If you drive a car at 300 miles an hour, you're going to occasionally blow a tire, but you can get away with, you know, you're going to get a ding on the fender. Okay. It's going to happen. That's the way I've lived. That's the way I've done. And I regret absolutely none of that, but the average person can approximate just a level of that, not the whole thing. You don't have to be as crazy as I'm doing. You don't got to light your backyard on fire, but you can be a 10, 20, 50% stronger than you are safely without the problems, without any little ding on the fender. Actually, what you're going to do is you're going to actually upgrade your whole system mentally and physically in a relatively safe way. That's actually safer than being weak. It's certainly safer than the route of I was hurt and I just babied myself after that, because you know what? Okay. So what happens after that? So I had a bad back, not me, but just in the analogy of what we're doing here. Okay.
Hypothetically
I'm
speaking.
40 years old. I have some young kids. I have a bad back. I can barely walk. We live next to a lake and my 3-year-old darts for the water and he can't swim and I'm too hurt to save him.
Exactly.
Because 2 years ago when I hurt my back, they told me, don't ever lift anything heavy again. Just baby it. You'll probably have problems forever. Yeah.
Stop living. And that's what they told you.
Well,
die.
That's the wrong thing. And that mindset carries over into every other area. I believe I can write a book because I've trained myself because I was training with people at 6 and 8 and 10 years old. And later when I was 14, 15, people taught me that you can do that. You can do that. It's possible. And I saw repeated success over and over and over and over again. And because I saw repeated success over and over again, I believed I could do it in other areas. Well, I was a pretty good powerlifter. Can I be a strong man? I think I can. But now here's the thing. I have so much positivity directed in that particular area. I'm probably going to answer that question yes to whatever. Could you be an astronaut? Yeah, I could do it. Can you be? But here's the thing. Why can't you? Okay, I realize that's an extreme example, but it actually is possible. And I'm also a believer of, you know what, shoot for the moon. If you miss and hit the stars, you're okay.
Exactly. You're good either way. Clinicians out there listening to this, man, I hope you take what he's saying and apply it to what you're doing, especially because he's showing the bidirectionality of this, where when someone feels something, they can change their belief system. We know that the mind dictates and governs everything. The thoughts dictate and govern everything. But our experiences, our feeling, our movement can actually dictate what or change how we think, right? So we see this bidirectionality there. And that's one of the reasons that as physical therapists, chiropractors, personal trainers, ATCs, whatever you guys are, you have the ability to change someone's life because you have the ability to affect their movement. You change someone's movement, you can change their perspective, change their belief, and you can absolutely change their life.
That's funny. I was literally talking to a client about 4 hours ago about that particular thing, about using physical movement to change your mindset, about using physical, you know, I have a friend who, so this particular person has had three major catastrophes in their life. And when you talk to them, and a lot of their life reference is based out of, that's my timeline. This happened. And therefore I had these problems after that. And that's a very, very human thing too. And here's what happened. The intensity of the experienced molded your mindset. And then you got years of practice being negative or being sad or being damaged by this particular thing. But what if you took that two or three workouts a week and you use the miniature anchors you build every time you do something physically hard, and you forced yourself before you do something physically hard to step back and say, I'm happy, I'm fulfilled, my purpose is amazing, I'm a good person, I'm whatever it is you need to fix mentally, whatever it is, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this. What if you did that and connected it with happiness every time you did the hardest thing you do every week? Well, now you begin to undo the mindset that you have problems with, because you got 1,000 reps in of being sad over and over and over again because you had this one explosion in your life. Well, what if you took these little mini explosions of every time you had the hardest effort, you pulled a big deadlift, you did your sled dragging for my, you threw an axe and so whatever it might, but what if every time you did it, you use it as a mental prep to undo, to practice reps and reps and reps of positivity and reps and reps and reps of happiness and reps and reps and reps of I can. I am capable. I am good enough. I am valuable. All those things over and over and over again. You use that physical movement as an anchor, and it's a much more powerful anchor than just simply saying it to yourself. Convincing yourself is one thing, but tie that to a physical movement. Tie it to a success. I am good enough, and then go lift 5 pounds more than you did last time. Well, maybe I'm right. By God, I have the evidence to experience it. I have the evidence to say it. I have, you know, and these crazy people are pushing me on, and I got around these positive people, and now suddenly I started to get happy, and I started to think that I am capable of that. And now I'm a better human, and I'm a better grandma, and I walk better, and I function better, all because I believe that I can, and somebody told me I could do. That's it.
One person told me I could. You changed someone's life. But I want to tease out, because the ties you have here, you are also a massage therapist. So can you talk to me about, I mean, we talked about a little bit before, you know, through DMs and stuff. Can you talk to me a little about, you know, mindset, movement, you called it bio-cooperation between the practitioner and the patient, myofascial unwinding.
Yeah.
Talk to me, bud. Ha! Yes, that is the end of the first half of this episode. Did I cut it at an inopportune time? Absolutely. Marketing 101. But tune back in next week. You'll catch the second half of this episode. Bud is dropping a ton more knowledge bombs. This guy is awesome. It brings the fire. We're talking about fascia, fascial unwinding, this awesome concept he calls progressive distance training. And no, it's not about running. And we're going to chat about full range of motion. This is something that gets Bud a little bit riled up, so you're definitely going to want to tune in for that part. Make sure you tune back in next week, next Monday to be more specific, October 8th, same time, same place, for part two of this episode. In the meantime, thank you guys. I know you could have been doing anything and you chose to listen to me. So as always, endlessly, endlessly grateful for all that you guys do. Until next week, my friends, Maestro out.